Boy, I'll tell you, we got a crew in here. Well,
be praying for the pastor, because I still got 2 weeks ahead of me. You can't believe it. I'm having to cook myself. I'm having to do laundry, and I'm having to do the dishes, feed the dog and the cat. Oh, Lord. But as you can tell, I ain't been missing many meals. Amen. Pray for Tammy. She is still in Wisconsin. Things are going well. But I'm going to be glad to get her back. Amen. That's what I'm thinking. You know what? Maybe this is like laying up some kind of an account. On account of she's been gone for a long time. Maybe when she comes home, I just go fishing for her. Yeah, I bet that ain't going to work either. That ain't the way that works. Thank you, Bob. Well, glory. We do miss her, but I believe she is watching this morning by way of the internet. And so we welcome her with us. Hope I'm doing everything right. I didn't forget anything. I didn't hear anything. Did you? We're good. We're good. Listen, I want to welcome you here. Man, we're seeing a lot of new faces in here this morning. That is exciting. That tells us that the Lord is answering our prayers. Amen. We've been praying that God would bring them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. That God would fill this place up with people that didn't just come to hear some cute little message. Amen. Because if you came here today to hear a cute little message, you're in the wrong place. Because my job is to provoke you. My job is to give you the Word of God and to equip you, the saints of God, for the work of the ministry. Amen? And so that's my job, and I love my job. Speaking of jobs, I've got about 2.5 more weeks, and I'll be parking the old log truck, and I will be full-time your pastor. Amen. I am excited. I'm excited. My message title this morning, Reconciled for Reconciliation. Let that just sink in for a minute. Reconciled for Reconciliation. Have you ever wondered why you were saved? Because I can promise you this, you weren't just saved so you could make heaven your home. That's not why you were saved. You were saved primarily to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Heaven and your residency there is like a byproduct. It's a secondary event. Because if we can learn how to worship God, if we can learn and understand why it is that I'm even saved in the first place, then all of that, all the rest of that, is going to just come to play natural. Amen? So we have to understand that we've been reconciled to God because He has given us, as you're about to find out, the ministry of reconciliation. So what that means for you, in a nutshell, is you should be taking what I'm communicating to you from the pulpit. As I preach the best I can, the message of salvation. If you've been here more than 2 Sundays, you'll know right up front that I'm a salvation preacher. I don't believe there's anything more important than getting saved. Amen? Because if you don't get saved, you ain't going to heaven. And if you don't go to heaven, you're in trouble. So turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul, the apostle, is speaking to the church there in Corinth. This is his second letter that he has written to them. The church, the city of Corinth was a seaport town. It was a very affluent place. It was a place where much wealth and those kinds of things was there. It was a seafaring hub, if that makes any sense. It was a hub of that place, and ships came and went, and there was, I mean, you can imagine all the kinds of sin and things that took place in that town. And Paul established the church there, and he continued to minister. And this is what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Starting in verse 17, reading through the end of the chapter, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ... By the way, if I could trouble you this morning as we read God's Word, if you'd just stand as we read God's Word. I nearly forgot that. We just stand in the presence of the Lord as we read this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, as ambassadors of Christ, or for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, I thank You for Your Word. And I pray, God, that as we look at Your Word, as we tear into Your Word, I pray, God, that You would anoint me to preach Your Word, to declare Your Word, Father. And I pray that Your people would be anointed in this place this morning and across the internet. Lord, that Your people would be anointed to receive Your Word, that Your Holy Spirit would quicken it in our mortal bodies. Lord, that You would use it to glorify Yourself. God, that we were as ambassadors for the kingdom of God would walk in power and authority, Lord, and do all that You have called us to do. Now, God, we thank You for it. We give You praise, glory, and honor. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. It's through the creative command of God that those who accept Jesus by faith are made new creations. Aren't you glad that you're a new creature in Christ today? Amen. I'll tell you what, some of you, and I ain't naming any names, but there are those of you that have known me in this house since diapers. Woo! Ha! That's a good time. Known me since I was in diapers and have known my natural tendencies. Whoo! Even in all of the mess that I've walked through in my life, God has had a plan and a purpose for me. And church, through all the, I don't know, maybe you haven't been through any mess, but I sure have. And if you have, I want you to know that God has brought you through that. It didn't scare Him. He didn't see that. Everything that we've been through, He has allowed us to go through for a purpose. Amen? Listen, if anyone is in... See, there's a huge word in that verse that we're talking about, in that 17th verse, one of the biggest words in this whole verse is the word if. It only consists of two letters, but it's a huge word. Because the implication behind the word if is dynamic. It's big. If. Because if not, hello. See, it's through the creative command that God that those who accept Jesus Christ by faith are made a new creation, and we belong to the totally new world of God in which the Spirit rules. Aren't you glad that the Spirit rules your life now? Aren't you glad that even though we mess up from time to time, there's a Spirit that lives inside of us? We call Him the Holy Ghost of God. And He's there to guide us and to direct us and to give us unction and to move in us and through us. Look at what it says to confirm all of this in Romans 8 and 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You got to ask yourself, am I being led by the Spirit of God? Because just because you've got the Spirit of God in you doesn't mean you're being obedient to the Spirit of God and in fact being led by the Spirit of God. Because He's a gentleman and He will not force His will on your life. There's a still small voice that is in the back of us all the time. And Jesus is saying, walk this way. Walk this way. And if you say, nope, I'm not going to, He doesn't trip you, knock you down, doesn't do any of that. The Jews already considered themselves to be the children of God because of their heritage. How many of you know this morning, your heritage won't get you to heaven? Your heritage will not get you to heaven. Just because mama and daddy were in the ministry don't mean you're going to be a child of God. You've got to make a choice. Just because you're here today in this church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. I told you it wasn't going to be a cute little sermon. How come you're going to heaven? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. It don't make a difference. I know I'm going to heaven. He told me I was, and I believe it. See, the children of Israel, the Jews, they considered themselves to be the children of God because of their heritage. But Paul says that that term now has new meaning. Because the true children of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God as evidenced in their lifestyle. What does your life say about your relationship to Jesus? Huh? I don't even remember who the old time evangelist was that said that you need to be preaching every day of your life. You need to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if necessary, use words. Getting funner all the time, isn't it? Do people know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ because of your actions or because you told them so? Because you can tell them all day long, but if your actions don't live up to it, true children of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God as evidenced in their lifestyle. So believers not only have the Spirit, they also are led by the Spirit. Christians are brand new people on the inside. Woo! The Holy Spirit gives us new life. We're not the same anymore. I am not the same. I can tell you things that you don't even know. Whew. am not the same anymore. I'm just not. I'm just not. And you don't have to be either. You don't have to be either. We're not reformed. I want you to hear this. Why I didn't have you put this on the board is beyond me. I apologize. So I'll go slow so you can write this down. We are not reformed. We are not rehabilitated. We have not been re-educated. Listen to this. We have been recreated. We are recreated. We're not reformed, rehabilitated, re-educated. We're recreated. The Bible says we are a new creation, living in vital union with Christ Jesus. At conversion, we do not merely turn over a new leaf. That happens in January on the 1st. Everybody turning over a new leaf, making their yearly resolution, breaking it on the 2nd. That's right. I was just teasing. We don't just merely turn over a new leaf. We begin a new life under a new master. Hey, did you just hear what I said? If I'm living now under a new master, doesn't that at least imply that I was under the direct leadership of an old master? And he was tickled to death to have you, and he's madder'n hops that he don't now. And he fights, does everything he can to try and get us back. Stand your ground. Don't give in. Check this out, Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Amen? Listen, at one time Paul had evaluated Jesus by what the world thought about Him. Anybody else done that? Evaluated Jesus by what the world thought about Him. As an educated Jew, Paul was looking forward to the Messiah. But the Jews of his time were looking for a political Messiah, a person of power who would free them from Roman rule. But Jesus was not that guy. Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. Make no mistake about it. But He didn't come ruling with an iron fist. I'm going to destroy the Romans. I'm going to set up my own kingdom. No, He came in lowliness and in meekness. Instead, Jesus died, even suffering the Romans' most cruel form of punishment, which was crucifixion. So according to human standards, Jesus was merely a human being, an insignificant man who died like a criminal. Well, they could not have been any farther from the truth. They couldn't have been any more wrong if they had tried to be wrong. Can I just tell you that all changed when Paul encountered the risen Christ on the Damascus Road? You know the story. Paul had just been a part of and witnessed the stoning of Stephen, and now he is on his way to go and kill more Christians, and he's on his donkey riding down the Damascus Road. And bam, he has a confrontation with Jesus Christ that knocked him off his donkey, onto his donkey. And when he got back up on his donkey, everything was changed. You'll get that on the way home. See, Jesus didn't wonder who had done what to him. He knew immediately, "Who are you, Lord?" Ha! And Jesus, this is the craziest thing because it goes against all the organizational leadership kinds of things that a pastor does. It goes against Paul is going killing people. And Jesus immediately puts him in ministry. I want you to go on down to town. Things are going to be different. I want you to go to this house on this street. The guy's going to pray for you. You're going to receive your sight. And then he separates him and begins to just minister to him. And how would you like to have been the guys that had to deal with Paul right off? Because they knew who Paul was. Are you kidding me? This guy's running around killing people and you want him to come to my house? Are you kidding me? Aren't you glad that they did? What's he asking you to do that's crazy? He's asking us to build a church right out there that seems a little crazy. We've fought every obstacle you can think of. We're still fighting obstacles, but you know what? Every time an obstacle pops up, God mashes it down. That nail is a reminder above that piece of sheetrock right there. That's what they established the floodplain at in this place, and the Lord has lowered that by about 4.5 feet. Tell me he don't know what he's doing. And he's using a bunch like us to do it. I don't know what you said, and I don't want to. We do need a bigger miracle. Yes, we do. See, in the same way that Paul's encounter with Christ was changed, believers, you and I are changed when we meet Christ. As a Christian, as a believer, I'm now a new people. You're a new people. The Holy Spirit gives us new life, and we are not the same anymore. Can I just tell you something? I liked the sin that I was in. Felt good. Kind of enjoyed some of it. But can I just tell you something? Since the Holy Ghost has taken up residency in this tent of dwelling, listen, you can't enjoy that mess anymore. You cannot enjoy that because there's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. He's like, hey, you're not the same no more. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Everything about you has been changed. We're not reforming you. We're not redirecting you. You've been recreated. The old things pass away and behold, all things become new. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I like that. I am not the same anymore. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Who's us? All y'all. Ye be ye. You have been given it's a ministry of reconciliation. That is, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See this? That is His word of reconciliation. Everything in there is put in there to as a instrument, as a tool for you to use to reconcile a lost and dying world to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Reconciliation is one aspect of Christ's work of redemption. It refers to the restoration of the sinner to fellowship with God. How many of you know this? The Bible says that God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How many of you also know that that does not mean everybody's going to get saved? Here's a really hard question. What about that one person that you could minister to? What about that person that you can talk about this ministry, act in this ministry of reconciliation, giving them the word of reconciliation? What about that one person? What if you don't reach that person? What if you don't plant seeds in that person? You might not be the one that leads that person in the sinner's prayer. You might not be, but are you at least planting some seeds in somebody? Does their eternal destiny mean enough to you to get out of your comfort zone? How many of you know that we can be pretty comfortable just sitting in our house, not worrying about the world going to hell outside? That is not what we've been called to. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us. Who's us? We're us. Reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. And because of all of that, He has given us, all of us, this ministry of reconciliation. And it refers to the restoration of the sinner to fellowship with God. So, the sin and rebellion of the human race has resulted in hostility toward and alienation from God. So this rebellion calls forth God's wrath and God's judgment. If you're not saved, you're in danger of God's judgment according to His Word. And so it behooves us, I mean, it's an encouragement to us. Listen, I've done some stupid things in my life. Amen? We've done some stupid things. Wouldn't, if you had the opportunity, I mean, I don't even want a do-over. Because I'd probably blow it again. I just want to be forgiven for all that mess and go forward. Remember Rafiki? Is that his name, Rafiki? The little witch doctor guy on the Lion King? The Lion King in that movie, in that little, was it Simba, the little one? Had done some stupid things. Amen. It's a picture of you and I. His dad told him, don't do this. He did that. Guilt, listen, guilt and condemnation engulfed him. And the enemy told him, you need to run. Get away from here. And he did. He found himself out in the middle of the savannah or whatever it was out there. Except for Rafiki. You can call him what you want. I think he's acting in the role of the Holy Spirit in that moment. And he busts him upside the head with that stick. Pow! And the little lion turns around and says, what'd you do that for? Which was a good question. I'd wanted to know that myself. And he said, well, what's it matter? It's in the past. Yeah, that's the answer I wanted. But how much truth is there in that? That mess is in the past. You can't do anything about it. You can only go forward from here. The rebellion calls forth God's wrath and His judgment. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Wow. But through Christ's atoning death, God has removed the barrier of sin and has opened a way for you and I as sinners to return to God. Through the shed blood of Jesus, I can be washed. Though my sin be as scarlet, I can be as white as snow. That's what He said. Justification. I've been justified. I've been redeemed. What's it mean to be justified? Just as if it never happened. That ought to make some of us a little happy. Christ removed the barrier of sin, opened a way for the sinner to return to God. This newness of life is not of any human doing. God Himself began the work, and only God can allow people to approach Him as a child of God. Philippians 1 and 6. Wow! He began. He who began. He began a good work in you and I. And He's working on us every moment of every day to get us to be the people, the men and the women of God that He has designed us to be, that He has created us to be. How many of you know this morning, we are His workmanship? You know, there's things that we're going to do, Glenn, out here in this building that is going to be unique to us. There's going to be wiring that's going to be done that's going to be unique to us. There's going to be something very unique in the middle of the foyer when you walk in. There's going to be the biggest rock that we can find is going to be sitting right there. It's going to be unique to us because that's the way we're designing it. That's the way in my mind and in the minds of those of you that have helped us to create this design, this image of what we want God's house to look like. It's going to be unique to us. God has wired you for certain things, but everything that He's wired you and I for is to advance His kingdom. Don't misunderstand that. It's not of any human doing. God began the work. Only God can satisfy His own righteous demands. Only God can save. God is the author and the finisher of our salvation, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The problem with most of us is knowing that He's the author and the finisher of our faith and our salvation. Too many times we want to be the editor. That don't work. That doesn't work. If God brought you to it, He'll bring you through it. We just have to trust Him. We've got to trust Him. God brought His people back to Himself through what Christ did. And when you and I trust Christ, as believers, we are no longer God's enemy. God, through Christ's self-sacrificial work on the cross, God made believers part of His family. I'm a part of the family of God. You know what that means? I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Now you just stop for a second and you just close your eyes and you just begin to think, begin to ponder in your brain. I wonder what Jesus is going to have. I wonder what Jesus gets. I wonder what's at Jesus' disposal. I wonder what's available to Jesus. And when you figure that out, let the light switch get turned on, because that's for you too, because you are a joint heir with Jesus. Did this die? Is it still working? Check. Test. 1, 2. Amen? I'm telling you, you're a joint heir. Jesus died in your place and mine, so that we might enjoy fellowship with God. That's what reconciliation is about. When Jesus died on the cross, He reconciled us to God. He made a way for sinful, fallen man to go back into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. He died in our place. Because believers have been reconciled to God, we've been given the task of reconciling people to Him. Could Jesus do it all on His own? Yeah, He could. But He chose to use us. He sent us. Chapter 28. Go ye. Who's ye? Ye be ye. What do you have? You have a ministry of reconciliation. Paul experienced reconciliation through Christ, and it became his mission to preach that message. And just in case the Corinthians had forgotten the heart of Paul's message to them, he repeated it to them. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Wouldn't you just love to have your sin not counted against you? There's only one way that that'll happen, and it's because it's if you have your sin washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Listen, it's like going in my kitchen and doing the dishes. They go in dirty. They come out the other side clean. But the dirtiness is still in the first sink. You track it with me? But when I pull the plug, hello. When I pull the plug, run some fresh water in there, all that mess goes down the drain. I'm never going to see it again, ever. Not even if I want to. It's gone. The same way with our sin. When Jesus applies His blood to the sin in your life and mine, it is washed away. It is down the drain. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, mercy. Where am I at? Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Through God. God, through Christ's death on the cross, was bringing back all people, the Jews and the Gentiles alike who had fallen. And although we were enemies, Christ reached out to us and saved us from certain destruction. Listen. God brings us back to Himself. He reconciles us by blotting out our sin and making us right with Him. When we trust in Christ, we are no longer God's enemies. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners to Him. Because we've been reconciled, we have the privilege of encouraging others to do the same. Listen, when you get saved and you know you're saved and you realize and recognize what God has done in your life, don't you think you want to tell somebody? Let me just tell you something. Where'd Dave go? Your brother is apparently being healed of this cancer. Don't you think he's going to want to tell somebody? If God set you free from a terminal illness, don't you think you'd want to tell somebody? If God worked in your life and a miraculous event took place, you've been healed of this or that, or your son that was lost has come back home and God has saved his soul, don't you think you want to tell somebody about it? Let me just tell you what God's done for me. We have the privilege of encouraging others to do the same thing. And thus, we are those who have the task of reconciling people to God. The church has been given the ministry of reconciliation, calling all people to be reconciled to God. That's why we're praying from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Because I don't want to just see Myrtle Creek get saved. I want to see Glendale get saved. I want to see Riddle get saved. I want to see Winston get saved. I want to see Tiller and Drew get saved. I want to see Dillard and Roseburg and Looking Glass. I want to see everybody come to the saving knowledge of Christ. You know why? Because those that don't get saved, the shed blood of Jesus was of no value in their life. And that is sad. That is sad. Let me, would it do any good if I said, let me try and wrap this up? Probably not. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the last couple of verses, 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Can you hear the desperation in this verse of Scripture? As though God were pleading through us. Have you ever sensed God pleading through you? Man, my heart is that you would just get saved. Because, listen, I'm telling you, man, if you don't give your life to Jesus, if you don't come to the Lord, if you don't surrender your life to Him, do you know what that means? That means you're going to spend an eternity outside of the presence of God. It's called hell. People don't want you to tell them, listen, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. People don't want to hear that. But it's true, nonetheless. But when you tell somebody that you're going to be spending eternity outside of the presence of God, that's hell enough for me. To be anywhere where the presence of God is not is hell. I don't want to be there. As ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you. That's a strong word, that word implore. That is a strong word. We're begging you. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Why on Christ's behalf? Because I just said it. Because in Christ, in the realm of Christ, if somebody doesn't accept the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, His blood, His life, the stripes that He bore, packing that cross up Golgotha's hill and to the hill of the skull, all of the crucifixion, all of that was of no value in that person's life. How sad, how tragic is that? That's why it says, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, please be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Listen, you know what the value is of an object by the price that someone is willing to pay for it. An old car, let's say a 66 Camaro, brand spanking new. Anybody tell me how much that cost back in 1966? Maybe $1,000, $1,500. You take that same car today, get $50,000 for it if it's in good shape. I ain't paying $50,000 for that car, I'll tell you right now. Because it ain't worth that to me. But to somebody, it is. And so the value of that object is now $50,000 because that's what somebody's willing to pay for it. I'm more back down about the $1,000 range. But I wouldn't buy a 66 anyway, just in case anybody wants to know, 69. Just throwing that out there, Mike. 69. No. You think about your life for one second. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the Alpha and the Omega, the Son of the Most High God said to His Father, send me, I'll go. I'll be the spotless lamb of God. I'll be the sacrificial lamb because our people, our most prized possession is worth it, and I'll go to redeem them and to reconcile them to you, Father. And your value skyrocketed that day. Don't let nobody tell you you're junk because you are not junk. You are created. You are not a loser. You are not a failure. You are a king's kid. You're a child of the Most High God. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You are going to heaven because of what Christ has done for you. An ambassador is an official representative of one country to another. This world is not my own. I'm a sojourner. I'm a pilgrim. As believers, we are Christ's ambassadors. We are sent with His message of reconciliation to the world. And an ambassador of reconciliation has an important responsibility. We dare not take this responsibility lightly, especially in light of the times that we find ourselves living in today. Church, He could come back before I'm done preaching this morning. Are we ready to go? We cannot take the responsibility lightly. What Christ has done for us, the commission that He has placed on us. Paul described himself and his co-workers as Christ's ambassadors, representative of Christ to the world. God was using Paul and those that He had raised up to speak to the Corinthians the message that they be reconciled to God. That, in other words, that they accept God's free gift of reconciliation. Paul did not announce this message half-heartedly. Remember what I said. He pleaded. It's as though God was pleading. We implore you. Paul wasn't half-hearted about it. When Paul got knocked off that donkey, it made an impact in his life. He was changed, transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And all the... Listen, how many of you recognize that Paul was tenacious? Huh? I mean, when you're going around killing Christians, that's tenacious. He had a belief. How many of you know that God didn't remove all that from him? He redirected it. He redirected all of the energy and the ambition that Paul had against the Christian faith, what they looked at as a sect in those days, a rebellion. And he changed it all and redirected Paul to raise that up and to help establish it. And look at what we have today. Paul didn't announce this message half-heartedly. He implored, even urged and pleaded everyone who would listen to him to accept God's free gift of salvation. It was extremely urgent because it would change their eternal destiny. It was a gift that had a very expensive price tag. For God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. That's the plan of God. Christ bore the consequences of, or the punishment for your sin and mine. God made Jesus He was completely innocent. He was perfect. Yet He identified Himself with sin so that He could take it away. You think about that for a second. Scripture nowhere states, church, let me be very clear. Scripture nowhere states that Jesus actually became a sinner. He remained the spotless Lamb of God. But He took on Him the sins of the world. He took our sin upon Him. And God the Father made Him the object of His judgment. When Christ became the offering for our sin on the cross. And by taking our punishment on the cross, Jesus made it possible for God to justify and forgive, or to justly, rather, forgive sinners. The whole context of this entire passage is concerned with the believers living for Christ, being controlled by the love of Christ, becoming a new creature in Christ, fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation as a representative of God and His righteousness in the world. Are you pursuing things to satisfy your needs, your wants, and your desires? Are you pursuing things that God hasn't brought to you? Or are you trying to convince yourself that God has brought this thing to you or that thing to you, when in fact it could be this, the opposite? Time is short, and God is wanting us to focus our time and our attention on Him. By taking our punishment on the cross, Jesus made it possible for God to justly forgive sinners. God's righteousness is manifested, and it is experienced by the believers in this world by abiding in Christ. Only to the extent, church, listen to me, only to the extent that we live in union and fellowship with Christ do we become the righteousness of God. And since Jesus, who was perfect and innocent, took on the penalty of sin, death itself, Jesus can make you and I who believe in Him right with God. He can make us right with God. His perfect righteousness can cover our corrupt and imperfect lives. My heart's desire is to live blameless before the Lord. And I fall so short of that. But I know that I have a Redeemer. My Redeemer lives. And I know and am persuaded His perfect righteousness. When people trust in Christ, we make an exchange. My sin for His righteousness. The believer's sin was placed on Jesus at His crucifixion. His righteousness is given to believers at their conversion. The question I have for you today, with head bowed and eyes closed, people praying, has conversion taken place in your life? Have you been born again? Have you been redeemed? Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is there a place being prepared for you in the portals of glory? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you aren't answering yes all of those statements and questions that I've just made, if you didn't answer yes, you can today. You can today. Because it's through the blood of Jesus that you can say yes. It's through the blood of Jesus that your unrighteousness is turned into righteousness. God loves you. God knows everything about you. God has seen your failure, and He's seen your triumph. And Jesus is saying, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's saying to the lost sheep, I'm the good shepherd. I am the way and the truth and the life. And He's calling you to come to Him. Oh, preacher, you just don't understand what I've done. You're right. You don't understand what I've done. But Jesus Christ does. And He said this very plainly, very simply. If you'll believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. That's it. For God so loved the world, you're part of that world. You are one that He loved. For God so loved the world that He gave Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him, you would not perish, but would have everlasting life in the portals of glory, in a place called heaven, in a place where the presence of God is and will never leave. If that's you today, He's calling out to you. He's reaching out to you. And He's saying, will you come? He's asking you, will you trust me? Will you give your life to me? I've redeemed you. I've given you the gift of eternal life. If you'll just ask, if you'll just accept it, if you'll just begin to walk in it. If that's you today and you're here and you say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, ever. I've never done that. But today I want to. If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all in this place, say, preacher, that's me. I want to give my life for the first time to Jesus. Anybody in this place today? Maybe you're watching by way of the internet and I can't see you. But if your hand's up, I'm going to pray in just a minute. You pray with us. You'll be just as saved as if you were sitting in this place. Anybody else? One more time. Maybe you're in this house this morning. You've been saved. You got saved years ago. And life happened and things took place and you got discouraged or whatever. And you find yourself figuratively adrift at sea, spiritually speaking, far away from the safety of the harbor, far away from the captain of the vessel, being Jesus Christ. And somehow or another, you're like the prodigal. You found yourself clear down the road, living in a place called sin. But today, Spirit of God is ministering to you. You're recognizing it. And all you can think about is, I got to get back home to my Father. Today you want to recommit, rededicate your life to Jesus. If that's you, slip your hand up. I want to pray with you today. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. Recommitting my life to you today, Lord. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. Maybe there's somebody out there on the internet that prayed that raised their hand for one or both. And I want to pray. I want to give them the opportunity. I'm going to pray. If you're watching today and that's you, if you'll just pray this prayer, God will save you right where you're at. Father, forgive me. Cleanse my life. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk with you in spirit and in truth. Help me to be an ambassador for your kingdom right where I'm at. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Listen. I believe somebody out there got saved today. I just believe it. But let me tell you what's about to happen right here, right now. We got that watering trough over there full of hot water. Amen. And David, you had me so fired up Friday night, I couldn't hardly stand it. Come here. Come here. Come on. We're going to... Woo-hoo! We are going to baptize this guy. Come here. This guy, I fell in love with this guy the first day he walked in here. I am not kidding you. You give his life to Jesus, he's been in a bad, bad wreck, haven't you? The enemy tried to kill you, but he didn't. Because somebody was riding with you. And Friday night, all you could say was, God, God, God. That's all he could say. Is that right? That's all you could, you'd say, yeah, God. Yeah, yep. And today, today you are going to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. Woo! Come on, buddy. Come on, walk with me. Come on. Listen. Put that camera over this way if you can. Come on, buddy. Come on. You step up right there. Listen. You got anything you want to say?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
Do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that, don't
yep.
you?
Yep. Yep.
Have you given your life to Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. Are you going to spend all eternity with Him
yep.
in heaven? Yep.
Yep.
Don't get ahead of me on this, all right?
Okay.
Okay. David?
Yeah.
God loves you.
I love you.
Amen. I'm believing great things for you. God didn't just save you to keep you from dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a plan and a purpose. You believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Sit down. We'll get them shoes and socks off. Let me sit on that stool. Sit on that stool right there. David, I'm not just saying it when I say that I believe God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I believe. And to
watch you grow the way I've seen you grow in the very short time that you've been here. The way your heart is in heart after God. Hang on, buddy. Hang on. Amen. I'm believing God's going to completely heal you. Completely heal you. Completely restore you. Everything that the enemy meant for harm, the Bible says God will turn it around for His good. Believe that? Amen. Well, listen. Based on your testimony, based on your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want you to plug your nose with your hand. Plug your nose. Plug your nose, and I'm going to just tip you over. Okay? Ready?
Yeah.
Whoa, glory. Yeah. Come on, buddy. Hey, buddy, I'm proud of you. Amen. Oh, man. Oh. Come on, church. Can we just give God a great big hand clap? Thank you, Lord. All right, ready? Here we go. One more. One more. Awesome. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. You want to just sit down right there? Go ahead and just sit down right there. Listen, I'll tell you what. There is some rejoicing going on in heaven today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you today. God, I'm honored that you would use a guy like me to communicate your scriptures. Lord, I pray, God, that what you're doing in David's life, God, would just begin to expand, Lord. We do pray for his healing. God, we pray for his physical restoration, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, for every person in the sound of my voice, literally all the way around the world, Lord, over the internet, that God, you would begin to touch hearts and lives, that people would get saved, people would get set free. God, that we would begin to declare the truth of your scripture. And Father, I just thank you for it. I pray you watch over each one of us as we leave this place today. God, as we go to our homes, watch over us. Give us journey mercies. God, bring somebody across our path this week that we could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. And God, we'll be back here on Wednesday night, Lord, to study your word. God, to learn more about you, to get our tool bags filled a little fuller on Wednesday night and then again Sunday. God, we love you. We bless your holy name in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you.